Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the fin side.
Good morning, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as on FanSided and FinFanatic.com as well. We've recently started partnering with them. So we are looking at the entire NFL here today, not just what we've been talking about the last few days. We're one day removed from the Dolphins' massive trade day, going from 3 to 12 to 6. So we're going to do a one-round mock based on how we actually think things are going to go on Thursday, April 29th for the NFL draft. We're also going to have an NFL draft live show. As the picks come off the board, we'll be sure to give you great content, information off on the players. Just mute the TV and turn up On the Fin Side, and we will be sure to have bonus content and everything you need to know about these players, including team needs for the teams that are coming off the board there. So really a kind of straightforward here. I'm going to take the even picks. Paul is going to take the odds. Now that kind of screws Paul a little bit because the Dolphins have two even picks now because they're picking 6th and 18th instead of originally 3 and 18. So what we're going to do is when we get to those picks, even though I'm going to have the final say on it, Paul is going to chime in too with, okay, here's who I would have taken personally. And also here's what I actually think the Dolphins are going to do. So we're going to start at the top in round one here with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hey Dolphins fans, support for On the Fin Side is brought to you by Manscaped, who are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We've got an exclusive offer for our listeners, which is 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. Manscaped has created the best ball hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for a more precise shave and is waterproof to make your shower clean and easy. I now feel confident shaving my boys. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand-new Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. Kat and I already have our Perfect Package 3.0 on the way. What are you waiting for? Your balls will thank you. Make sure you get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code FANSIDED20. Yeah, and I think it's no secret here what I'm going to do. It hasn't been a secret for 2 years. Trevor Lawrence from Clemson is going to Jacksonville. We know it. You know it. Everybody knows it. This pick requires no explanation. They need a quarterback. I mean, Minshew Mania is nice, but end of the day, they need a quarterback, and it's going to be Lawrence. It's Lawrence has been the target for 2 years for whoever ended up at the top of the draft.
You bet. You know, I don't think there's been any more obvious first overall picks as Andrew Luck, and that's certainly going to be it here. And at number two with the New York Jets, I've been saying for months, I don't see any way that they're not going quarterback here unless the top guys after Lawrence just shoot themselves in the foot. And I'm staying with that. You know, the main reason being because Zach Wilson has really killed it so far in this pre-draft process to this point. You know, there's still more work to do, but also too, I don't see how a third head coach can say that, hey, Sam Darnold's my guy. I mean, he's gotten two coaches fired already. Not all his fault, don't get me wrong, but I just don't see how you move forward with a quarterback who has almost more turnovers than touchdowns in his career. I just don't think that's something that can happen. Zach Wilson goes number two to the Jets.
Yeah, and the 49ers came up. I mean, there's rumors that they're going for Mac Jones, but we're not doing that here. I can't in good conscience do that. I don't think that that's going to be the pick. And if you join us for our live draft chat on the day of the draft, like Kat was referencing earlier, you'll get to hear me laugh for a solid 2 minutes if the 49ers take Mac Jones number three overall. Here, I went ahead and went with the quarterback with a little bit more mobility, Justin Fields. He ran in the 4.3s at his pro day, and he's got a rocket for an arm. He's a 100% effort player. And, you know, hopefully he takes a little while to adjust to the NFL game so Miami's round one pick next year is a little bit better. But, yeah, Justin Fields, number three overall to the Niners. This one was easy for me.
Okay, that's fascinating, because I would have had him going Lance on there. And the reason being is that it seems like the timing is kind of odd that Trey Lance had his pro day a week ago and Fields hasn't, and they immediately moved up to three. But I also think that Justin Fields is a better fit in the Shanahan West Coast offense. So, yeah, that'll be fascinating to see. Maybe they already had their decision made on field. So, number four, I'm going with Trey Lance, the quarterback from North Dakota State. We've got the top four picks as quarterbacks. And, you know, for me, the Falcons may not be drafting this high again for a long time. I mean, let's say they took Kyle Pitts, somebody who could have an immediate impact, or Patrick Surtain, a cornerback, if they reach on him, then yeah, they would be better this year, but then you're going to probably get to 6, 7, or 8 wins. And then you're at a spot where you can't draft a quarterback, and Matt Ryan's turning 36 here soon. So Trey Lance is somebody who has incredible physical tools. His stock is very similar to Josh Allen's a few years ago, where if you develop him slowly and carefully, then you're probably going to have something special, or at least put him in a spot where he can be special. So next is number five with the Bengals.
Now, people aren't going to love this. I know a lot of people have done have bought in on the lazy journalism, where Joe Burrow would want to continue to throw to Ja'Marr Chase at the NFL level. For me, at the end of the day, since he would love to have Ja'Marr Chase to pair with the wide receiver core out there, but at the end of the day, you can't have Joe Burrow throw to anybody if you can't keep him alive. And it was readily apparent last year watching Cincinnati play that if you trot Joe Burrow out behind this offensive line, you're going to get him killed. Cincinnati already has weapons. They absolutely have weapons on offense, but they don't have the ability to keep Joe Burrow upright. And he's already going to miss a good chunk of the season this year because of the fact that they don't have anything in front of him to keep him upright. So some Dolphin fans are going to be upset about this one, and I can think of one that's on this stream, but Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle out of Oregon, end of the day is going to Cincinnati. It's a start in keeping Burrow upright, and I don't think this is the end of their run on offensive linemen in this draft.
If Sewell went one pick before the Dolphins, I mean, I'd be disappointed. I don't think the Dolphins are going to draft Sewell, even if he's there, to be honest with you. It's what I would want, but I really do think by going from 3 to 12 to 6, they're targeting that top pass catcher. And so that brings us to pick 6. We're going to park here for a little bit here too, because it's not fair that I just get the Dolphins picks, but, you know. Before we do, happy birthday, Paul.
Thank you. 42 is feeling good so far. I had coffee with my dad this morning. You know, had a night out with the fiance last night. It's great, man. Like, you know, got to record with you last night and get to be back here with everybody this morning. I'm excited.
It's draft season. And even with that, you know, you got to see how heartless I can be when I still won't give Paul one of the Dolphins picks.
I don't, for my birthday, I don't even get to pick for the Dolphins. This is great. But then again, It would be boring if I was picking here at six with this draft board because everybody already knows exactly what I would do here. It's Kyle Pitts is on the board, and he's the biggest difference maker at a skill position in this draft, period. People can say what they want about the Slim Reaper, Jalen Waddle, Ja'Marr Chase, Najee Harris. The biggest difference maker in this draft at a skill position on offense that's not a quarterback is Kyle Pitts.
Pitts would be the one that I would want here, too. With Sewell off the board. Oh, don't get excited, though. Hold on a sec.
Oh, I'm
But before I say who I'm going to pick for the Dolphins, but I'm going to throw it back to you for a second. So, you obviously, you want Kyle Pitts here at six. That would be your choice. Who do you think the Dolphins are going to pick at number six here? Do you think it would be, and if it's Kyle Pitts, I think that's a certain possibility, or do you think they would go with one of the receivers?
I do think it's going to be Kyle Pitts here. I think at receiver, given the receiver room right now, given the fact that they signed Fuller on a one-year prove-it deal, and I think at receiver, they're going to go with one of the possibly more unpolished players, possibly Terrace Marshall from LSU in round two. Somebody that they can develop and get the first round talent out of later in the draft that doesn't need to be there right away. Somebody like Terrace Marshall or Jalen Darden, maybe Tutu Atwell to upgrade the slot position. But, you know, it's because whoever they pick as a rookie wide receiver is probably not going to be on the field every single snap with Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, and a healthy receiving core coming back this year.
Sorry to cut you off there. And that's why I think, too, that if they took Pitts or anybody here, they probably wouldn't take a receiver until later in the draft. I mean, maybe mid rounds, maybe late rounds, but I think it'd be overkill if they went Pitts here and Marshall in the second round. I mean, now you're talking about it's really going to be challenging to get these guys on the field at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah. So at six here, Pitts is a possibility, and I think that would be the smart choice. But what I see happening here is a couple of things. Is number one, yes, I know that it can be very creative and exciting to have Gesicki and Kyle Pitts on the field at the same time. That's what I hope happens. I think that the team at the end is going to see a lot of overlap between the two. So Pitts is not going to be the pick here. I also am not going to have Devontae Smith as the pick. And here's why, because yes, the Dolphins last year needed receivers that could separate. They were the worst team in the league. Oh, he's Paul's taking off. Paul's internet connection is going to go down.
What? I can't hear you.
So Kyle, I don't think Devontae Smith is going to be the pick either. And here's in addition to the Dolphins being one of the worst teams in the league last year in terms of receivers separating, also one of the worst teams in the league in terms of yards after catch. Devontae Smith, I know he had a great yards after catch rate in college, but when you catch a screen pass and outrun a Notre Dame quarterback, that's not what I think translates well to the NFL level as far as yak. So he's out too. So it comes down to two players.
Speaking of yak,
Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Waddle. Those are the two players here that I think the Dolphins are going to consider because they have the ability to get yards after the catch. And when you look at what the Dolphins have, Gesicki and Parker, the contested catch guys, Will Fuller is the deep threat. I am going to go here with LSU wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase as the all-around threat here for the Dolphins.
Oh, you horrible human being. There was one name you could have said and saved that for me, and you didn't.
So now you're looking at pick seven?
What's that?
Are you talking about in reference to pick seven here?
No, I'm talking about in reference to pick six. If you had gone Parsons, I could have forgiven you, but...
I can't see any way that the team is... I'm not going to say anyway. I'd be very surprised if Parsons were the pick at six.
I would too, but at least it would recover it for me. God. Oh.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got good news. He might fall to 18 in this.
He might. I don't see him fall. Thank you, Shake. I like that puke emoji. I like the puke emoji.
I think people are forgetting how great of a receiver Ja'Marr Chase was. At LSU.
I'm not knocking Ja'Marr Chase in any way, shape, or form.
Except for the puking and the sighing uncontrollably for a minute. Paul is not disrespecting Ja'Marr Chase. That's a lot of people do that. They're like, you know, it's kind of what Matt Scurra said. You know, I don't want to make excuses, but it was the rain.
Look, like, I'm not disrespecting your horrible, atrocious pick right there. I'm not conveying any hint of disgust. I'm just looking for a bucket. That's all.
Gotcha. Yeah, right. I hear you. And I'll put an asterisk to this too. If Ja'Marr Chase at LSU's pro day does not test out well athletically, I think he could free fall in this draft because he should be about 6'1", 210 or so. And not 210. I'll say 6'1", 205 or so. But some of those LSU players, though, tend to be a little bit shorter than they're listed. And I've heard from some places he might come in under 6 foot. If that's the case, you're talking about Chase at best as a mid-first rounder, in my opinion.
See, I hope he spent his entire quarantine eating ring dings and watching Oprah. So,
all right, Paul, you're on the clock here. Pick number 7. Who are you going with?
Pick number 7, Detroit Lions. Well, I know Micah Parsons has some character issues, and Dan Campbell likes to have somebody we're gonna go with bite people's kneecaps off. And it's very tempting for me to go Micah Parsons here, but I'm not going to. I think Dan Campbell's going to get a huge difference maker on offense. And you and I have met Dan. He don't care, I think would be the best way to phrase it as far as what anybody else thinks. And people can think Devontae Smith is too skinny to play football, but end of the day, he plays with a pair of something. And for me, I'm going to give Detroit Devontae Smith to replace the wide receivers they just lost in Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay. So Devontae Smith, Alabama, goes one pick after Kat took Ja'Marr Chase over Kyle Pitts to the Detroit Lions.
And let me be clear, I would take Kyle Pitts. I don't think the Dolphins will. That's just my gut feeling on that. So number 7, Devontae, I think that makes a lot of sense. And now the Lions have taken Devontae Smith, another wide receiver, over Kyle Pitts. So you're starting to see him kind of fall here, and he's going to fall even further because I'm not going to have the Panthers taking him either. But as far as the Lions are concerned, yeah, they've really boxed themselves into a corner here where they kind of have to take a receiver. That's also factors in as well because we talked about yesterday, you know, maybe the Dolphins – if they see all those pass catchers on the board, maybe they fall back a couple of spots, get another draft pick. But you've got the Lions there at 7. And it's very likely that the Lions are going to end up taking the wide receiver that you don't. So that factors in. At number 8, and I go back and forth on this guy. I listened to our show. I kind of talked out of both sides of my mouth with him yesterday. Mac Jones, quarterback from Alabama, he could go as high as this pick. He could fall into the third round. It depends if a team is willing to if a general manager is willing to say this is our franchise quarterback. But the Panthers have really boxed themselves in here too, where Deshaun Watson they had interest in, and obviously that's off the table, or at least you would think right now. They couldn't get up for one of these top 4 quarterbacks. I don't see them going to the Teddy Bridgewater for another year. So Mac Jones is the pick here at number 8 for the Panthers.
Well, I was going to take Mac for the Broncos here at 9. But since you went ahead and took Mac, I'm going to break my own heart. And the Broncos need a few things. Biggest among them would have been quarterback, and that's why they would have reached a little on Mac here at 9. Given the fact that we can't trade out, I'm going to take Kyle Pitts with the Broncos here. Give their young quarterback a reliable weapon in that offense. And somebody to dump the ball off to effectively as they go here. It breaks my heart that you broke my heart here. Thanks for not taking pits on my birthday, Cat.
I do what I can. No, this would be definitely a best player available by far, because the Broncos don't have any needs at wide receiver or tight end. But are you going to take, can you really justify taking, let's say, I don't know, a Rashawn Slater over a Kyle Pitts talent wise? I don't think you can. So now you can, now the Broncos would have Pitts along with Noah Fant, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler. If Drew Lock can't succeed with that, then that's a problem. Now here we are with pick number 10. Dallas Cowboys are going, I'm going to have them going with Patrick Surtain here from Alabama. He's somebody that obviously very cerebral, very polished, came in at 6'2", 208, ran in the low 4.4s. So he checked really the athleticism box there. So, and the Cowboys are just, they're never in position to draft a cornerback. It's been a long time since they've been able to. So they end up going with second, third, fourth rounders at corner instead of like they did with Byron Jones in 2015 when they drafted him at the end of the first round. But this is an immediate starter, and the Cowboys are in a perfect position here to get that lockdown cornerback that they need.
All right, so the Giants were sweating watching Jerry Jones try to make the pick here. And luckily, Jerry Jones didn't do one of the two Jerry Jones things that we were hoping for, and took Patrick Surtain instead of the guy that I'm going to take here for the Giants, who have been chasing wide receivers all offseason. There's been no secret about that. And with Jalen Waddle still on the board, they're going to get that over-the-top receiver to help Daniel Jones out in this offense. So, Jalen Waddle, New York Giant. And he's going to be like the clean version of Odell Beckham Jr. for these guys.
Yeah, he would certainly add a lot to that passing game there, because you take a look at what they got with Kenny Golladay. They got the contested catch guy. They've also got Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton. Now they get that just pure blazer. And I really get the feeling that the Dolphins may be looking at him too, because of what he and Will Fuller can both bring speed wise to the Dolphins offense. It would be high, but I don't know. I just kind of get a feeling with that. Number 12, we've got the Philadelphia Eagles. And I got to tell you, if this is how it ends up for the Eagles, man, they've got to be irate. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if the Eagles were trying to trade back up a little bit to get either Pitts or Waddle. Even though, they've got Dallas Goedert there, but especially Waddle. I mean, watching him go to a division rival one pick before would certainly be heartbreaking for him. So they're not in a good spot here. And because they're not in a good spot, they've got to take the best player available here at a need position too. I'm going to give them J.C. Horn, the cornerback from South Carolina. And this is the son of Joe Horn. This kid just turned 20 years old 4 months ago. But he athletically is a grown man. I mean, this guy is 6'1", 200 pounds, ran a 4.39, athletically tested out really well. This is one of my favorite players in the draft. If the Dolphins had any need at cornerback, I might have him over some of the receivers that we talked about. That's how much I like him. He's a press man. He can play opposite Darius Slay. And now the Eagles do have that same identity on defense that the Dolphins have with Xavier Howard and Byron Jones, being able to lock down both sides of the field.
All right. So you took J.C. Horn here?
I did.
All right. The Chargers are absolutely giddy when they look at this board. They need offensive line help in a big way. And the guy that a few of the experts have actually mocked over Penei Sewell in a couple of mock drafts this offseason, Rashawn Slater, is still sitting out there on the board. So this is the easiest pick for me so far. Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle, goes to the Chargers.
Yeah, that's tremendous value. And just like with the Cowboys, needing a cornerback so badly, getting down to pick 13 and seeing both Rashawn Slater, Christian Darrisaw, and really every offensive lineman in the draft other than Penei Sewell Yeah, that would be huge for them. So the Vikings there at pick number 14. You know, they've really been rebuilding the roster with Rick Spielman here, former Dolphins general manager, for a while. You know, last year they went very, very heavy everywhere. I mean, they had 15 picks last year, and they casted a wide net. They got some starters, specifically a cornerback with Jeff Gladney and Cameron Dantzler. But now you look at this board and, well, Paul, if I broke your heart once, I'm going to do it again. We are going to go with Micah Parsons here, a linebacker from Penn State.
What is wrong?
it makes a lot of sense too. Anthony Barr is somebody they've considered replacing over the last couple of years, even though he had a great start to his career. Eric Wilson's a free agent, their other linebacker, so there is definitely a needed outside linebacker. And Mike Zimmer defensively, you know, I think he can certainly work with this guy. If he's got some character concerned, I think Zimmer would be a good guy to straighten that out. So Micah Parsons, the pick there at 14.
All right, at 15, New England Patriots. They need wide receiver help in the worst kind of way. And we're talking probably multiple wide receivers. Julian Edelman plays about 4 games a year. After that, there's, you know, I know they signed a couple guys this offseason. I think it continues here. I was going to take Micah for them too, actually, and break my own heart. So at least he went to the NFC.
Happy birthday, man.
I'm going to go with Rondale Moore as somebody that can really help the Patriots out here. I know it's a pick I made in our pre-Dolphins blew it up draft, and I still like this pick for the Patriots, even though I hate it as a Dolphins fan. So Rondale Moore, a little bit earlier than expected, which Bill Belichick doesn't really care what you think, and we're rolling with that. So you are up with the Cardinals.
That's exactly right. You know, Rondale Moore, 5'7", but a little bit of a reach, but the Patriots are like kind of the Seahawks. They don't care. They don't care what you think as far as who they think is good for their team. So
with their two tight ends set, Rondale's going to end up on an island a lot of times, and I like him winning a lot of one-on-one matchups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that certainly makes a lot of sense. So the Cardinals don't have a whole heck of a lot of needs. This kind of gets to be a little bit of a tough one here. I look at a couple of players really at the edge spot for them. I think Micah Parsons would have made a perfect pick for them. They got a lot of offensive line help in the offseason here for Kyler Murray. But I look at edge and think that they really need to add somebody. I'm gonna go with Kwity Paye, the outside linebacker there from Michigan. Being able to, you know, with Phillip, with Marcus Golden coming back, but he's able to really fly off the edge. I think he's better fit in the 3-4 anyway.
No, I like that pick. I think he's a pretty natural fit too for them. So here at 17, we're going to stick with the edge rushers. And Gregory Rousseau out of Miami, you are going to the Raiders. It looks like in this case, Mayock won the battle with Chucky and got his pick instead of taking, you know, whatever the heck Chucky would have taken, which probably would have been a wide receiver like Kadarius Toney, or somehow tried to grab a quarterback thinking he was smarter than everybody else. But end of the day, yeah, so Gregory Rousseau coming off the edge is perfect for the Raiders.
Yeah, and if Paul gets some revenge on me here, because that's my dream pick there at 18 for the Dolphins. So good work. So all right, now we get back to the Dolphins pick here at 18. And not the best board. I don't think a lot of value slipped. Micah Parsons, Rousseau didn't slip. A lot of people disagree with me on Rousseau. That's a subject for another day. Yeah, so the pick that makes sense here, and the one I, yeah, I've got to say that I'm going to go ahead and give them Najee Harris, running back from Alabama. And now in the first two picks, you've come away with the best running back and the best wide receiver in the draft, in my opinion. And you've also got a first and third round pick too. And this is even I would even almost be unimpressed with those two picks compared to what they could possibly get. But it, you know, you can really now with Tua at the skill position, you're going to have Najee Harris at running back. You're going to have at wide receiver, Devontae Parker, Jamar Chase, and Will Fuller, and at tight end, you'll have Mike Gesicki. If Tua can't win with that and take that next step up, there's a problem. And I think he absolutely will take that next step up and just be that car dealer taking advantage of one-on-one matchups. Paul, who would you have taken there?
I honestly, over the past week or two, have settled in comfortably with the idea of taking Najee Harris if Miami stands pat at 18 or even trades back a few spots. So I would have taken Najee Harris here as well, which is a huge concession from me as a very light on running backs in round one kind of guy, as a lot of our longtime listeners would know. I would have taken Najee Harris here as well.
Gotcha. Washington up at number 19.
Well, this is going to break a lot of people's hearts, but I think that Washington is going to load up heavily for Fitzmagic this year. And given the way the board shook out, Kadarius Toney and Curtis Samuel are going to be a heck of a lot of fun to watch together in that Washington football team offense that already has a ton of weapons. And God, that would be a fun offense to watch, and it'd be like watching a video game. So Kadarius Toney, Washington football team, let's go.
I could see that. Sounds like a very Washington type pick. I think it'd be a mistake to take Toney simply because Fitzpatrick is a guy that likes to throw to big receivers. But they've also demonstrated this offseason by signing Adam Humphries and Curtis Samuel to pair with McLaurin that they're not going that route. Mm-hmm. So this is very, very possible here. So now you've got the Chicago Bears at number 20. And this is where I start to see some of the cornerback position is such a highly valued position right now. And, you know, one guy we haven't had come off is Caleb Farley, but he's not going to come off here either. The reason being, it's just come out that he is going to have back surgery, and back surgery for a rookie cornerback who didn't play last year too. Ooh, that could be a problem. So I'm going to give them Greg Newsome, the cornerback out of Northwestern. This is a little early for him, but like last year, when you saw AJ Terrell go 15th overall, I think you're going to see cornerbacks get forced up the board.
No, I like that pick. And here we are with the Indianapolis Colts, who the other day I took a lineman for them, but there's a better one available, actually, given how this draft is shaken out. Christian Darrisaw slid a little bit to my surprise, given how things changed over the past week. And I am going to slot him to Indy because they need a lot of help, especially given the fact that blanking on his name, retired at left tackle.
Yeah, Anthony Costanzo.
Yep. It's a neat value pick.
Yeah, that's one of my that's got to be one of the go down as one of the best picks of the first round for that. Wow, what an offensive line that would continue to be there. So, at wide receiver, at cornerback for the Titans, you know, that's really kind of their biggest needs here. So, you know, it's, I don't know, but it's kind of tough here. You know, there's not one guy that really sticks out here, but I think Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver from Minnesota, would fit really well with Ryan Tannehill. You see what they lost in Corey Davis, and they never have really replaced him at wide receiver. Now that he signed with the Jets, you slot him right in opposite AJ Brown. And I think you keep those weapons full there for Tannehill in Tennessee.
Which one did you take there, Kat? Sorry, I apologize.
Rashad Bateman.
I like it. All right. So the Jets are on the board. They have needs everywhere, but they took their young quarterback, number two overall. And outside of a left tackle, the Jets don't have any linemen. And you're going to get utterly destroyed given the defensive lines in Buffalo, New England, Miami. Then you're going to be picking in the top five again if you don't start addressing that heavily in this draft. So here at number 23, the Jets take the lineman I had mocked to the Indianapolis Colts the other day. And the thing I like about this is there are some questions, arm length wise, etc., for Elijah Vera Tucker. But at the end of the day, he can play tackle for you. He can kick inside to guard. And no matter what, you're going to have a spot you can put him no matter how your draft shakes out for the Jets. So Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive tackle. But again, he could end up being offensive guard, Elijah Vera Tucker.
Yeah, and I think that's – unfortunately, I think that's a good pick for the Jets because they have needs at guard and tackle. I would think he'd start at guard because they have so many needs there. They'll probably cut Alex Lewis. They're starting left guard now. Unfortunately, that's a good pick. I'm going to go with Azeez Ojulari there for the Steelers. I've always had them going with Ojulari, and I think this will be a phenomenal pick for him because he would be my top edge guy if the Dolphins played like a pure 3-4 or a wide 9 because he can just pin his ears back and get to the quarterback. I don't think the Dolphins defense fits that type of talent. They more prefer to win on the inside and keep things in front of them and win with their secondary. But Ojulari coming, firing off the edge, replacing Bud Dupree at that outside linebacker spot, a lot of value there.
Yeah, and Jacksonville's up next. And for Jacksonville, ever since they lost in Duque, they've been seeking some edge help. And with Owe running in the 4-3s at his pro day, and already being in the round one conversation, I think he comes off the board to just be that speed guy off the edge for Jacksonville. And, God, they need somebody that can get after a quarterback, even though they could go some on offense to help out a little bit with Lawrence.
Gotcha. Who's your pick there?
Owe, Penn State.
Okay. And that's interesting because they're playing a 3-4 this year now. So he could be an outside linebacker, but he might have the strength to be a down lineman, even at 257 pounds because of how strong he is. So that would be a fascinating fit there. I'm going to go with Christian Barmore at 26 for the Browns. You look at their defensive tackles now, you've got Sheldon Richardson, you got Malik Jackson, all on the wrong side of 30. And there's also talk of them signing Jadeveon Clowney. If you have Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, Christian Barmore, who's 6'5", 310 pounds on the same defensive line. That is a lot of size to have to deal with. And I think that would be a great selection for them. He could possibly sit behind the older defensive tackles and be more of a pass rush specialist where he was really good last year for Alabama.
So back-to-back picks here. I'm talking about the gigantic hole left by Yannick and Darkway for the Baltimore Ravens now. Given the fact that he went through, what, three teams last year? And with that being the case, I went ahead and I know folks have him mocked in the second round, but he's one of our favorite pass rushers in the draft here, and went with Joseph Asai, the edge rusher off from Texas. In that Ravens defense, the Ravens have always been a team that loves and adores that edge rush position, and it's such a critical thing for them that they don't even see this as a reach here as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's that would be a very Baltimore Ravens like pick, that's for sure. So now you've got next the New Orleans Saints, who they've had a lot of needs, and now Marshawn Lattimore arrested the other day for getting caught with a loaded gun that could have potentially been stolen. We'll see if that has an impact, but they've lost a lot of players, and I'm going to have them again. Cornerbacks getting pushed up the board here, and I'm going to go with Tyson Campbell, the cornerback out of Georgia. A little bit of a reach here, but somebody who certainly fits the part, needs to add a little bit of weight, but it definitely has the physical tools to be that boundary cornerback.
All right, so the Packers are on the board, and Aaron Rodgers has been begging for skill position players for feels like a decade now. And every time the Green Bay front office goes into the draft and gives them a certain hand gesture I'm not going to do here on YouTube, which when you've got your MVP quarterback that is aging in years, give the guy what he wants finally. It's Elijah Moore is going to come off the board here and be a weapon for Aaron Rodgers finally in the first round of the draft here.
Got it. That's nice of you to finally give. I think it's almost cruel what they're doing. I mean, I'd love Elijah Moore too for the Dolphins in the second round if he were to fall. But yeah, that would be great because he can play right in the slot there. And now, yeah, you're going to have somebody making mismatch problems there. At 30, the Bills, it seems like they've been trying to replace Levi Wallace for about 10 years now at cornerback. They just re-signed him, modest contract. He's a decent player. But I'm going to go ahead and give them a cornerback from Kentucky, Kelvin Joseph, who's been surging up draft boards here over the last several months, really. It doesn't have a lot of experience, but has the physical tools, and he could be that player opposite Tre'Davious White that they've been looking for.
And now the Chiefs, and I think you can tell by my tone of voice here that I am breaking my own heart when it comes to the Chiefs. They need edge help. Kat, I think you know where I'm going with this one.
Yeah, I think so. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's boogie time?
It's boogie time. This is the saddest way anyone has ever said it's boogie time. But Boogie Basham comes in. I can't say enough good about this guy and the way he would fit in that Chiefs defense. Andy would have so much fun with Boogie at defensive end and what he can do to opposing offenses that it's just a no-brainer for me here that Andy's going Boogie.
Got him. I mean, if he fits what the Chiefs like in those defensive ends, you know, they signed Emmanuel Ogba, you know, a couple of years ago, and he was there for a year, and Basham fits that same size speed profile too. So somebody who can immediately get in there. I'm going to go with number 32. The Bucs could go anywhere. They've gotten all of their starters back, which is incredible from last year's team. I'm going to give them Landon Dickerson, the center from Alabama. And the reason being is that if he struggles to come back from his ACL injury amongst his other injuries, then the Bucs are a team that can be patient with him. And if Brady's going to be there, let's say he could play for 5 more years, gosh, who knows. But if he's there for 2 or 3 more years, then incredible impact that he could make, if not this year, then in the second year. I mean, Ryan Jensen's on the wrong side of 30. Alex Kappa, right guard, he's okay. You might be able to upgrade from him. So Dickerson makes a lot of sense. And I think that Bruce Arians would absolutely love this guy's personality, the leadership he brings too. So that is going to wrap up the first round there, Paul. So before we get to kind of who our favorite players are heading into day two, because the Dolphins are picking 4th on day 2 at pick number 36. So just to review, number 1, Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence. 2, Jets Kyle Wilson. Or excuse me, Zach Wilson. Got the Jets. That's going to kill me because they drafted cornerback Kyle Wilson a long time ago. It's quarterback Zach Wilson. 3, 49ers quarterback Justin Fields. 4, Falcons quarterback Trey Lance. 5, Bengals offensive tackle Penei Sewell. 6, Dolphins wide receiver Jamar Chase. 7, Lions wide receiver Devontae Smith. 8, quarterback Mac Jones for the Panthers. 9, Broncos tight end Kyle Pitts. 10, Cowboys cornerback Pat Surtain. 11, Giants wide receiver Jalen Waddle. 12, cornerback J.C. Horn for the Eagles. 13, Chargers offensive tackle Rashawn Slater. 14, Vikings linebacker Micah Parsons. 15, Patriots wide receiver Rondale Moore. 16, Arizona Cardinals Kwity Paye linebacker. 17, Gregory Rousseau defensive end for the Raiders. 18, Dolphins running back Najee Harris. 19, Washington wide receiver Kadarius Toney. 20, cornerback Greg Newsome Bears. 21, Colts offensive tackle Christian Darrisaw. 22, wide receiver Rashad Bateman Titans. 23, guard Elijah Vera Tucker for the Jets. 24, Steelers linebacker Azeez Ojulari. 25, Jags defensive end Jason Owe. 26, Browns defensive tackle Christian Barmore. 27, Ravens outside linebacker Joseph Asai. 28, cornerback Tyson Campbell from Georgia for the Saints. 29, Packers Elijah Moore, wide receiver Mississippi. 30, Bills cornerback Kelvin Joseph. And 31, defensive end Carlos Basham for the Chiefs, 32 Bucks center, Alabama, Landon Dickerson. So that wraps up the first round, Paul. So a lot of value still heading into day two for the Dolphins. So taking a look at this board we have, if you've got that in front of you, who are a couple names that would be highest on yours heading into day two for the Dolphins?
Owusu-Kamara, Zaven Collins, Richie Grant, Terrace Marshall. Jalen Darden obviously is going to be out there at that point. But then you look at Creed Humphrey and Quinn Meinerz, and there's a ton of talent left for Miami's 2 second-round picks, and even when they hit the third round, that I think will be there.
Yeah, there sure is. And as you're seeing here, kind of a declining edge class too. A lot more went in the first round than I would have thought. But after you get past the first 7 or 8, there's kind of a big drop off there. So looking at what I'm seeing here is I would be – if the board looked like this heading into day two, I would be all for the Dolphins moving up to 33. It probably would require maybe a fifth-round pick, maybe that fifth-round pick they got from the Eagles, and getting Trevon Moehrig, the safety from TCU. And he probably will go in the first round. He is tremendous. He would be tremendous value. And if you could come away with Ja'Marr Chase, Najee Harris, Trevon Moehrig, and as your first three picks and have an extra first and third, man, I would be satisfied with that. I think you're doing a lot there. Jalen Phillips, the defensive end from Miami, I think would comfortably be a top 10 pick if not for the concussion issues. And he didn't have them this past year, but he was a former number one overall recruit in 2017 coming out of high school. Great season. He finished the season with, in the last 4 games, I think he had 6.5 sacks and 12 tackles for loss, something like that in the last 4 games. He would fill a big need, but can you get over the concussion issues that forced him to really retire for a little bit? So that's kind of scary stuff. Those would be my top two. Jeremiah Owusu-Kamara would be fascinating in this defense because he can be a nickel. Some people have compared him to Jamal Adams, which is – pretty incredible. And it would really signify the Dolphins are going all in on coverage instead of pass rushing. So those would be my top three guys.
Yeah. And for me, I know you like Moehrig and I like him too, but it's the footage I've watched of Richie Grant, both good and bad. I feel like not only is he ultimately going to end up being the best safety in this draft, but he's also the best fit for the way Flores and Boyer like to run their defense. And that's where, for me, even if they were to trade up to 33 to grab a safety, I would still go with Richie Grant. And I think going with Richie there would enable you to possibly trade Eric Rowe and be able to still run that 3 safety look with Jones, Bobby, and Grant and run it effectively. And really, like, if you're able to put Bobby in as the nickel with Richie in there in Bobby's current role and Brandon Jones in Eric Rowe's current role, you can do a lot of fun, disgusting, disguising things in that, you know, positionless defense that Miami likes to run. And I think he's the best fit for that as far as that goes. Like I said, he's a more athletic Bobby McCain that makes better decisions. I would love that.
Right, and I think we're talking about the same thing here with Moehrig and Grant as far as the role they play. They could play nickel. They could play free safety, and Bobby McCain kicks down a nickel back and get rid of Eric Rowe at all because, I think if you trade him, I don't think you're getting more than a late-round pick just because of his age and limited upside. But, you know, I would want to hang on to him. I'm big on, look, I want more defensive backs than we even need. That's what I'm after here, so that the Dolphins can put 6 or 7 on the field at a given time. And if somebody goes down like Byron Jones did for a few days last year, the defense isn't broken because this man-to-man defense that doesn't have a great pass rusher needs elite cornerback play and elite defensive back play. And I think that's the dedication I think Brian Flores and Chris Greer are going to continue to make here to this defense.
Yeah, and really, Flores and Boyer are on the same page with it. I mean, I still remember an interview where Boyer was talking about the way things worked out with his first defensive coordinator position at a technical school, And, you know, you didn't have a lot of those big-bodied guys, so you had to find creative ways to use the little guys. And that's kind of how he developed his style of defense. And I know he and Flores are same page on that. So, yeah, I do see them going after defensive backs in this draft. I see them adding a corner later on, even though most folks would scratch their head. But here's the thing. The Dolphins don't have the tremendous amount of holes a lot of people think they do. They have a lot of rookies that showed a lot of promise last year and showed development. And so they have possibilities for upgrade, absolutely. As far as holes go, really they go into this draft with one true hole, and that's Matt Skura at center.
Yeah, and that's a good point because they do have some big holes, I think. But I would argue they're not at premier positions. And here's why, is because – to me, running back, center, and edge are by far the top three. Mm-hmm. Running back is one of the most undervalued positions in the NFL now. If you don't believe me, take a look at what left tackles get paid in free agency compared to running backs. I mean,
guards.
Guard, I mean, anywhere really. And same goes for center, where, yeah, Corey Linsley was a first team all pro. If you had a first team all pro tackle, he'd get $23 million a year. Corey Linsley got 13, and most centers get 5 or 6 million. I mean, Ted Karras could have started again for us at 4 million again. So, yeah, I think running back and center are going to be addressed. And edge, it may not be as big of a need. And the reason for it is because if you're playing that non-traditional positionless defense, setting a hard edge may not be the most important thing. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the Dolphins signed Adam Butler to you know, on a roster with Christian Wilkins and Sealer and Raekwon Davis, so that they can play with three big guys up front. What makes more sense for Shaq Lawson to set an edge? And I don't want to hear any crap about how he's an outside linebacker. His job is to set the edge. Who's better at it purely than at setting an edge, Zach Sealer or Shaq Lawson? That's an easy choice for me.
Yeah, no, Zach Sealer blows up an edge. Let's face it. I still view... I know they re-signed to Landon Roberts, and he had some highlight reel plays. So, actually, I'm going to take back my we have one hole and say we have two. Because when Landon Roberts didn't guess right and blow up the play, he guessed wrong and took himself very, very far out of the play. So that is a hole, and center is a hole for me. Running back could definitely use improvement. Wide receiver, there's some easy options to improve in this year's draft. Could we improve the left guard spot? Probably. But if we draft a center, guess what? We could always kick Kinley over to left guard, put Jesse Davis at right guard, which is his most natural position, or put Jesse Davis at right tackle and kick Hunt into right guard, and you have Creed Humphrey or Quinn Miners at center, and suddenly you've got a young offensive line with outlandish potential as far as that goes. So
potential would certainly be the key word. And if the Dolphins strategy is to draft a center here and have those four young players develop, then that's certainly something that can work. But I want to see that develop quickly. I don't want to be sitting here at the end of next year and saying, hey, the Dolphins offensive line wasn't all that great again in 2021, but hey, you know what, they're young. Like, I it was impressive the three got on the field and played at a reasonably high level. I think Hunt and Kinley more so than Jackson, but that's a different conversation. I there are multiple ways that this can work offensively. All of them involve drafting and developing good players. So yeah, Paul, you know, we've gone through a lot here. We've gone through the whole first round. I had a lot of fun with it here. Anything else jump out from today or from chat?
There's a lot of folks that are actually wanting to go running back a little bit later on in the draft. There are a lot of folks that, you know, want to really upgrade the offensive line, and I totally, totally get that. Danimus, I know about Jesse Davis. Trust me, if I'm saying Jesse Davis, you know the guy has really stepped up, because I was probably Jesse's biggest basher over the past couple of years. But guys, also, make sure you guys click like. Make sure you guys subscribe. We'd love to get a few more reviews out on iTunes, whether you do that through Podcast Addict or any of the other methods that you're able to do so. It only helps us out, and we really appreciate all the love and feedback we've been getting here. We've added a couple of options here just to play with because a few folks request them, so we do have the Super Chat icon now. And then we also have a couple of mods to help us manage the chat as we're getting busier and busier in here. And God, I enjoy the hell out of doing this with you. There's no better way to spend my birthday morning than yelling at your ugly mug.
I'm glad to hear that, man. And hope you have a great day and an awesome birthday. And cap off, at running back, you may be able to go later, but you might find yourself in a position like last year where you miss the run, where you have a J.K. Dobbins taken right ahead of you. And now you didn't address the position again. I think Najee Harris, if you just take it and be done with it, you're going to have, in my opinion, a top 10 running back at the end of his rookie year and one of the top backups that can be moved around in Miles Gaskin. That's enticing to me there. But I understand, too, if they push it to 50 and end up getting one of these top three backs, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, or Javonte Williams. Actually, Javonte would be above Etienne for me. And for Paul too, then that could be great value. But do you really want to push it that far? So anyway, that's going to do it for our breakdown here of the first round and our mock draft. I'm Brian Catt, NFL on Twitter. Paul is Fanatic_pick. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets. We're also the official channel as well for the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com.
Hold up. Thank you, Jurors, by the way. Thank you. Real quick. But anyway, go ahead, Kat. Sorry.
I'm not watching the chat. So, whatever Paul said there. if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the fin side.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.